we're up to page Tof Kuf Zayin. On the top, left of the page is a page number. Tof Kuf Zayin Halacha Yud Aleph Klal Samach Beis. Mutar Loimar Benachri L'Sakenes So Eruv Shneskalkel B'Shabbes. An Eruv is not a religious thing, Rabbi Yisai. It's a matter. It's a physical. It's not a religious. I always thought as a child. I remember. I went to my grandparents' in Borough Park. They had in between the two neighbors and the driveway in Eruv. I was always very mystified. What is this religious thing? The Eruv. You need a rabbi to put it up. Like, what is it? It's nothing. An Eruv is just a machit. It's a wall.
It's believe
what?
Yarmulke is sacred.
Yeah, they think a yarmulke is kosher.
Yeah, I dropped my yarmulke on the floor. The guy wouldn't pick it up.
But it's holy. There are a lot of students of Chassidus Sherebis. Their yarmulke brings Yerushalayim. All right. But in any event, an Erev is nothing more than a wall. It's a wall, two posts, a double lechi, and a mashkef on top. It is a wall. Therefore, if Chas V'Shalom, the Erev falls down on Shabbos, you're allowed the Chatzil to tell a guy to put the Erev back up on Shabbos. That way you're being matzil people from the Chil Shabbos. People do not know that the Erev is down. So it's a shoygig. They don't know. It's not their fault. It's a shoygig. But they may come to carry. By having the guy pull the Erev back up on Shabbos, you have rectified the situation. There's no bracha. When you make an Erev, you don't make a bracha. You make a bracha on the Erev Echatzeres. There's no such halach. I always say, you make a bracha when you put up the Erev. Nonsense. When you put up the Erev, there is no bracha. There is no inyan of having it done by Jews. It can be done by anyone. It's nothing more than a wall, a mundane wall.
What about a sukkah?
A sukkah, no. Sukkah
falls down. Can you have a guy put it up?
A sukkah falls down. Put up the schach. I think not, because the schach has to be done l'shem mitzvah schach.
Right. I think. Well, why was it originally, but it fell down?
What? No, I don't think so. I think schach. I don't think you can do it. I don't know. I did once see that the schach came down. They told the guy to put the schach back up. So obviously you can do it then. So my sarav doesn't mean to do the right thing. I don't know the answer. Believe me, I have to look into that. But when it comes to an Erev can be put up by a guy if it falls down. The ideal thing is to have a guy put the Erev back up on Shabbos. Oh, I'm really happy. He's doing malacha. He's doing all different types of malacha. The raisa. Boine, his mamash doing boine to put the air back up. It's okay. In this instance, Amir Yaakov is a shvus, but when it comes to a shvus to be matzal a Jew from Machal Shabbos, this is another exception to the rule of Amira la'akum. So butu lemon l'nachum l'stakin es erev l'shneskakum Shabbos kedei shelo yavol rabim l'idei nichshol. So people should not come to be nichshol in the avera of Chil Shabbos. Chedai hu ba'al itah. Who we rely upon? The ba'al, this famous ba'al itah who comes to Amir Yaakov that says listen mechalav l'hatis shvus the Amira. He holds that a shvus in Isur Rabbanon, the Amira, afilu b'molacha d'araisa. So he holds when b'mokay mitzvah d'rab. Balita says that when it comes to a mitzvah, when it comes to a mitzvah d'rabim, you're allowed to tell a guy to do a molacha d'araisa. Amiru la'akum is an Isur Midrabbanon. Even though you're telling the guy to do a molacha d'araisa, when it's the tzarech mitzvah, there's no greater mitzvah than saving the tzibur from being Mechalel Shabbos. I just want to remind you of the story that I told you a few weeks ago. I found the fascinating Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was walking with his son, Rav Ruben Feinstein, and he said there was a Shaila, the air fell down in Bungalow Colony. And the question was, what should we do? Should we tell the people that the air fell down? Or should we rely upon the principle of Mutav Sheyushaygin V'al Yehu Meizidin? Don't tell them anything. They don't know, so therefore they're Shaygin. So I don't remember, I forget from previous, I already forgot the whole story, but the basic gist of the story was, whoever was there, Paskin, tell the Olam. Go around, make an announcement in the Bungalow Colony that the Erev is down, and no more carrying. So they were walking in the Bungalow Colony, and Rav Moshe with his son, they heard a woman say, call out to her children, bring the toys in. Bring the toys in. The Erev is down. Bring the toys in from the street into the house. What? If the Erev is down, you can't play anymore in the street. So you're bringing from this mamish chil shabbos, this chil shabbos, you're taking from the rishus harabim into the rishus hayachid. If the mother would not have made that announcement, then either the toys would remain, no, they anyway wouldn't play with the toys, and either they would play with the toys, as long as they're not moving the toys in the street more than dalet amos, there would have been no violation. So by making the announcement that the erev is down, it led to greater chil shabbos because of ignorance. So Moshe said to his son, from here you learn that when the Erev falls down, you don't make any public announcements. You can tell individuals who know the halachas, you know the Erev is down, so Yitam HaChacham knows what to do. But to make a public announcement to the Hamoinam, who are not fluent in the laws of Hilcha Shabbos, it is not a good idea. Oh, but they're going to be Mechal Shabbos. It's not, they're not responsible. Mutav Shishoygin, they're not doing lechatz, they're not doing lahachas, they do not know better, and to go make announcements is going to make more problems. Mutav Shishoygin ve'al yehu meizidin, that's a different principle, but that's basically the bottom line. It's Rachman, when the air falls on Shabbos, you don't tell anyone. The best thing is quiet. That's what's going to happen. You go on the street, the air was down on Shabbos. I remember years ago this happened. The air was down, and you walk on Shabbos, it was very rare. Where the flapper sheriff was down, for those who use the flapper sheriff, and you walk into Shabbos, you see people, they're carrying the talif, they're carrying they're rolling the stroller. So what are you going to tell them? The erev is down. So what are they going to do? What are they going to do? The erev is down. So they're going to take the kid out of the stroller, and they're going to walk home, they're going to abandon the stroller, as they should do. Or they should walk pachas dal ramas, or they
keep
should
walking till Shabbos is over.
You walk paro, don't stop walking. So they got to know all the halachas. It's a tremendous nesayim. It's a tremendous nesayim. And you're going, you're putting people on the spot. And even if you'll tell them what to do, it's a freezing cold day, or it's very hot, or the kids are screaming, crying. Even if they know what to do, not everyone is holding in such a madrega where they're willing to follow what they're supposed to do. So you don't say anything. That's the halach. Halach is if the erev is down, shtoik. Don't say a word in a situation when you know it's going to be very, very difficult to yourself. You know the halach, so you don't carry, of course. But that is the basic halach. So what is the ideal thing to do? The ideal thing to do is to go get a guy to put the erev back up. When the erev is back up, you're back in business. The halach is based. Nachin shamei mu halach. Nachin maybe to go meet the shul b'chayvah shul b'chayvah. Va'yishol noisimoy hamavtech lo aitzori. A guy brings to it, now in this case, not no gelach lemaisa, obviously, but the principles are very relevant. Maybe we'll come across, I have to say, the article by Simcha Bunim Kohn. He wrote an entire sefer just on the laws of Amiru La'akum with modern applications to today's society, with some fascinating footnotes. I think this was the first sefer that he wrote for Art Scroll. By now, he must have published at least 15 sarim. Who knows? Every different miktsaya. If I'm not mistaken, his first sefer was the Amira La'akum. If I'm not mistaken, he wasn't even for Art Scroll. He wrote it, he published it privately. And then when he started other svarim, so they took his old svarim and they brought it over into the series as well. So we'll come, when we finish this, the Chai Adam inside, we'll come to some of the more relevant halachs. Well, at least the Kedai, it's Kedai to go to Chai Adam to get the background when we come to the more modern applications. And here's the principle. A guy comes on Shabbos, and he has produce, and he's coming to pay the Jew. Let's say he's a sharecropper or some type of profession where he's now coming to pay off his debt by giving the Jew what he deserves, what he's entitled to, and he's depositing the grain in the home of the Jew on Shabbos. So here it appears to be Chil Shabbos. He's carrying from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid for the purpose of a Jew to pay off a Chayv. The question is, are you allowed to accept it or not? It's like a common question if they deliver something to you on Shabbos, UPS, even mail, UPS, FedEx, or mail, or if the drone arrives on Shabbos, what are you to do? Are you allowed to open the door and accept delivery on Shabbos? So here is the basic principle. The Nachri comes, the Jew gives him the key to the silo, and the non-Jew, he deposits the grain in the silo, and he counts. He counts the grain, the bushels as he puts them down in the silo. So are you allowed to let this happen on Shabbos? The guy comes, He wants the key. Can you let him take the key? Can you give him the key? Can you let him deposit the grain there? And watch him count. Also, you want to be present when he counts because you do not want him to cheat you. If you're not there when he's depositing the grain and counting the bushels, it can be very, very well he will cheat. He'll give you less than what you deserve. But if you're going to be there, you're participating, you're showing that you want him to do it well. So what do? So the Chayodim has a very big dilemma. Yesh matidim. Now the Lamdas is very, very important, because when it's going to come, when it's learned later, the halacha, when it comes to deliveries, these reasons do not necessarily apply. The world is a very complex place, and when you purchase something, it's technically speaking, when you buy something on Amazon, at what moment in time is that product yours? When is it yours? Legally, is it yours the moment they charge your credit card? And your object is now yours somewhere in some warehouse.
In transit?
It's mine. Or no, the law is, look, they've charged you, they owe you money, they took your money, so now there's a chayv, but it's not technically yours legally until it arrives in your possession and is on your property and it's left there. And sometimes until you sign, or until they sign for you, or until it's deposited. This is a very big nafgamina. Legally, at what point in time is it considered yours? The post office also. The post office, at what point in time is it yours? And if it's not yours, whose is it? You're not paying for it. When it comes to a person sends you a letter, I didn't ask them to send me this letter. I didn't pay for it. It's not a product that I purchased. There's a very big difference between deliveries of merchandise and postal mail. Because the mail, ruba de ruba, are things that I did not buy. I don't want this mail. So it's just garbage. It's clutter. I don't need this. Or someone sent me a personal letter. I didn't purchase it. That has its own set of rules.
And what now this magazine, which you did purchase.
Oh, so magazine is inechlam. That would be different. But when you get deliveries to UPS, FedEx, that's different. And you have to also be aware that they have different rules. You buy something from FedEx, their laws, read the terms and and conditions of FedEx is not the same with UPS. And the other company, DHL is it called? They're different. They have a different set of rules, different set of laws. If something happens in the middle, it gets lost, gets damaged, who's responsible? Not every company has the same laws, and there are nafkin minis lahalacha, which we have to go through when it comes to receiving a delivery on Shabbos, when you're allowed to accept, when you're not allowed to accept, and if you're allowed to even use it, if you're allowed to even right away open it up and use it on Shabbos.
So what's the halacha?
Basically, ruba 99% of the time is you tell them, listen, it's Sabbath to us today. I'm not allowed to accept. I'm not allowed to do anything. If you want, you can put it down over here. You can put it down.
Some of the companies they train their drivers.
They know. Those are experienced.
They sign for you.
But no, it depends. If the person is new, and he's not been trained, yeah.
Wherever they want.
You open the door. There are different opinions on this matter, but the best thing is to say, listen, it's Sabbath. I'm not allowed to be involved in this transaction.
If the mail is dropped inside,
they put it in the house.
But can you pick that up on the floor?
There are different opinions. Some are matir, some hold it's muksa. Some opinions hold it's muksa, some are very makel. I think it's more common to be lenient. I've seen a lot of chashuv people be very lenient taking the mail on Shabbos. The mail comes in, I'm not going to tell you who I saw this guy. They take the mail, they look at it, they hold it not to be muksa.
But a muksa on the way, you can move it.
It's not muksa. Why? It's not necessarily muksa. First of all, you can use it as a book holder. You can use it. Or in itself, just seeing what came, you already know what's inside. Or what about holding up to the light? Holding up to the light, and you can read, congratulations, you have been accepted to Harvard Law School.
You can't do email on Shabbos.
What?
You can.
No, they still send acceptance. Are you kidding? It's still all the students, anyone wants to get into law school, medical school, It only comes by mail. Still, Arayom Hazeh does not come by email. It comes by regular mail acceptance into the Ivy League schools, not Ivy League schools, colleges. In colleges, it's still Ar Hayom Hazeh, to the best of my knowledge, still done by snail mail. And people who are in that situation, IRS. You know, the IRS, you're right, still by snail mail, the IRS, yeah?
Don't want to open IRS.
Yeah, you don't want to open it. Okay, but it's still, but it's people, you know, they're on their, this thing on their edge. They didn't get in, they didn't get in. Even a seminary, okay, girls getting into a seminary became a very big deal to get into a seminary. So I don't know how they, I don't know how they tell, they reveal that information. It's the letters? It's still letters. Somehow, you see, mail still has an appeal in this generation. We live in a world where mail today has really gone out the door. Everything is electronic. Everything is electronic, but yet, you see, mail still has something to it. I don't know how much longer, because they're going bankrupt. They've been going bankrupt for the last decade. Yeah, every year, but yet there's something to it, yeah?
What if somebody comes with cash?
Someone, muksa. Muksa. Ah, so that's a good example. That's much better. Okay, that's a better example, because there he's doing it. That's let me the words inside. That's exactly the case over here. Literally, that's the case over here. So let's analyze specifically this case, because I'm understanding the concept, and then we can extrapolate to other situations. So here a guy delivers grain. Grain really is the same thing as cash. Basically, the guy is basically, we can just say, I owe you $1,000. I was paid today, so I'm here to pay you. Open up the door, please. Open up the door. The guy comes in on the dining room table. He shops table. He begins to count the money to put the dollar bills on the dining room table.
Can
so,
you what? Don't leave it on the dining table. Put it
under the table. Put it under the table. Put it under the table. So, yeish. Yeish ma'atidin dinachui b'melechas atza. So it's mutter. Why? Now there are a few conditions why it's mutter in this specific case. Number one is dinachui b'melechas atza ma'yosim. That's very important for deliveries. I don't care, Shabbos, not Shabbos. I have a job. UPS gave me a job. I have a great job. I don't care. I want to do my job. I'm not doing it for you, for me. That's it. So that's number one. Number two, the einai shel. Then he goes on to say something else. The Eina Shel Yisrael Ad Achar Hamadida. That's a whole new concept. Is that the grain in this particular case is not legally the Jews until it comes in this possession. So I'm giving you what's mine. I'm not counting what's yours. It's not yours. It's still mine until I walk out of the house. So that's not so simple when it comes to deliveries in our day and age. That's a symbol. At what point in time is it transferred between the manufacturer or the store where you purchased it until into your possession? Venerally, so it's mutter because of the combination of those two reasons. The guy is doing it for his benefit, and it's not even yours. It's the object that belongs to the guy. It's not going to become the property of the Jew until a later point in time, until he leaves. Now there's another leniency that the Chai Adam says. You're allowed to stand there and to watch in order to make sure that he does not cheat you. V'nir Elisha Yisrael Mutu Lama B'medida can stand there B'medida when he measures it. Shlo Yite Oiso that Yati should not trick you. V'vad Shlo Yidaber Imay Klum Zed, do not say one word. Just stand there. Being there is mirsus. You're going to cause him to be afraid. He's not going to cheat you. Avol Imay Tvush Per. That is the Shita of the Chai Adam, a combination of two leniencies plus a leniency that you're allowed to stand there. Avol imatvu shel Yisrael. So here's where we're getting into trouble when it comes to deliveries. Okay, because most opinions already, I think, are hold that when it comes to delivery, it's already yours. The moment they charge your credit card, it's already yours. You can't back out. You want to return it? So you're getting involved in a whole new clause in the contract, returns. Returns have a whole new set of rules. They charge you for returns. Even Amazon. What? They charge you for the delivery. That's what I learned the hard way. No?
Sometimes. Most of the time.
If it's
free.
Not Prime, it's the return.
Oh.
If you don't get Prime. No, even if it's not Prime. If, you know, when, even when you think getting Prime, it's not always Prime. When you buy something, you have to be very, very careful because they get from a third party. If it's not coming from their warehouse and you want to return it, so they're going to charge you for delivery. And even Prime, you have to be careful when exactly they're not so generous when it comes to returns. They don't, they you can return it. You have only a very short period of time. But they're not so generous as far as shipping is concerned. I don't know exactly. Aval imatua shel Yisrael, but let's say the tua belongs to Yisrael. Also loy malunachu lefanoisai. Now this is a very big problem. Who are you not allowed to tell him lefanoisai to turn it to where to put it? You're not allowed if the grain belongs to you and the guy is delivering your grain. You're not allowed to tell the guy where to put it, because then already it's becoming he's becoming your agent. To Machal Shabbos, Amir Liakum, you're telling him to go from the Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashayachid. You become a partner in this malacha, and if it's not part of all the leniency involved, Lutzach Mitzvah, it's Mitzvah Derabim, all the leniencies, which usually it's not, then it's not permitted on Shabbos. Vuladin b'chol muksa. Let's say he gives you muksa. The alkal ponim have a shvus, the shvus anytime any muksa. You're not allowed to tell a guy to move muksa for you on Shabbos. That's because the shvus to shvus. Even though Muksa is Nisim Durabanan, and Amir Yaakov is Nisim Durabanan, Shavus de Shavus is Asur if it's not for a purpose, if it's not for a mitzvah, if it's not for a chayla, if it's not for cold or heat, or if it's not for the whole long list of exceptions, Stama Zayitz Asur. Furthermore, let's say that the animal is being milked. So you're allowed to stand there when they're milking the animal. So you also want to make sure he's not going to cheat you, steal it, or I don't know, harm the animal. Who knows what he's going? Maybe Chol of Yisrael. You want to make sure that he does not mix chazir milk into your milk. You're allowed to stand there. Oh, but he's doing a malacha deraisa, malacha to milk an animal on Shabbos, the malacha deraisa. So I want to stand there. So he's saying that in this particular instance, the milk is not mine until it comes into my possession. When the guy is doing this, it's his cow, it's his milk. Even though there's a business arrangement, but it's still technically not mine. So therefore, I'm not telling him to do something for me. It's permitted. I'm even allowed to stand there to make sure that he does not.
Stay there on Shabbos.
On Shabbos, all over the world. All over the world. They have Mashkichim, all over the world. Even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they're all over the world. They have Mashkichim because the companies don't. They have that. That's right. That's Mitzis. Okay, now obviously this is when it comes to, we have to go into much more detail. Believe that I'm not prepared to, like I say, when it comes to packages, we're going to come to that in Mitzvah a little bit later when we finish all the halachas, the Mountain Kshilas. But basically the rule of thumb is, if they deliver to you, if you use it on Shabbos, you're supposed to say to them, it's our Sabbath, I'm not permitted on this day to participate in any transaction in any way, but if you want, you can put it down over here for your benefit. You can put it down here in the house. That's all you're allowed to say to the UPS delivery man. Hopefully, he has some experience. And he's driving on Flatbush long enough in Bar Park, he has a lot of experience, and he won't even ask you. He'll just open up the door, he himself will put the box down on the table and say, oh, good Shabbos. That's what they'll do.
The Jew is on the receiving end. What if the Jew is sending on Friday his package next
Very
day?
Very good question. Okay, so we're going to come out later on. It's a kablon. If the shipping is not next day, overnight service, then it's 100% mutter. You want to mail a letter on a letter Friday afternoon, it's mutter. Because there's no guarantee. They're not required to deliver the postal service to deliver it the next day on Shabbos. You're not telling them to do it on Shabbos. If they do it on Shabbos for their own benefit, they're not doing it for you. There's no law in the United States. The mail has to be delivered overnight on Shabbos. So they do whatever they want to do. Do you need to be concerned that the people who work in the post office are Jewish? No, you do not, because the reality is the majority of those who work in the post office are not Jewish. And you go, Basarayf. That's more than enough to be Samech Wan. Yeah?
You go to shul, and you come home, and there's a package there now. UPS a lot of time just drops.
You're allowed to kick it into the house, yes.
Yes,
you're allowed to kick it kala'achayad because of Gezel. Kala'achayad, not the Yodayim Mamish, kala'achayad, it's muksa. Let's assume it's muksa. Is it muksa? It's not necessarily muksa, but let's assume it's muksa. So then kala'achayad because of chashash of Gezel. Someone may come to steal it. I know they stole from me. I know they delivered a package. And it was something important, and I wanted to be from. I learned the hard way. Okay, I wanted to be from. I says, I don't need. Who's going to take this? And sure enough, it was gone when I came back after Ma'ariv. I was so upset. I went. We have a camera, not for this. I have a camera for other reasons. I have a camera. and I spent a really long time to figure, go to the camera, it's such a pain to go to find exactly what happened. And sure enough, I saw on the camera a guy on a bike came. He first was looking up and down the whole block, and then he came, he swooped in very quickly, and he took it. And he didn't see the camera in front of the house. I don't know. He stole it. I called up Shimon, some Mitzray Shabbos, and I told them someone stole the package. It's good. They sold a lot of packages recently in this neighborhood. I have a video. They were so excited. They wanted to send over someone to the house immediately for the clip. I said, I'll email you the clip. Well, you know how to use the machine? Yeah. So I emailed them the clip, and they were very excited. They had the clip. Ultimately, they did catch him. I think they did catch him. I never got back my package. I called up the one who sent it to me, the and I told them it was stolen, and I said, I have the clip. I'm telling you, I saw it. So they sent me another one at half price. It was like so expensive. So they sent me the second one. Okay, we feel bad, half price. And whatever. But I never got back the original.
We always put on when we order to put it on the back porch.
Okay, so sometimes you can write that in the UPS. They don't always pay attention to that, and sometimes they don't listen to you. You have no choice, whatever it is. So I learned the hard way. So now, ever since that, I kick the pack. If I don't get too many packages, but if I ever get a package, I'll kick it in the house. But you have to make sure there's an Erev. And if there is no Erev, if you're ready three steps up, usually three steps is already higher than 10 Tzvachim, so it's already called the Rishus, already part of the house, so then you can kick it into the house, do it Kla'ach HaYad, it's Muksa Kla'ach HaYad, but Mokum Hefsid is Mutter. There's certainly a Mokum Hefsid, because I have the proof is in the pudding. There's certainly a Shach that's going to be stolen.
If you're expecting the package, is it Muksa?
If you're expecting, that's a big question. That's the question. Is it muksa? Is it called? No, it's not. It's not b'day shemaim. I don't know. I don't remember the answer. I think it's a machloikis. Is it in the spirit of Shabbos? You have to open up the package in a destructive way. There's definitely many situations where it's not. If you're expecting clothing, something that you need for your Shabbos or Yom Tov, you have to open the package, obviously, in a destructive way to get to the package. It's not muchach that it's muksa. It could very well be that it's permitted. You can actually use what arrives on Shabbos for your benefit.
Like a magazine, some people do.
Magazine, like people get the newspaper on Shabbos. Yeah. It's not an ideal thing to do. It's machloikis. Many people say that it's not right. The Shiloh also is more of a shiloh because it's printed on Shabbos. So you get a newspaper, New York Times, or the Wall Street Journal, they don't print it on Shabbos, right? They don't print it on Shabbos. They do.
They do print on Shabbos.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Sunday, there's no Wall Street Journal, right?
Correct.
So they print it on Shabbos, they print it Friday night or Saturday morning early. So that's a problem, because that's really called Noilat. It didn't exist. It was first created on Shabbos. It's Gomroi Bidei Adam. But that it's Gomroi Bidei Adam on Shabbos Mamish, so that's already a problem. But let's say you get a magazine. Magazine that was printed during the week. You get your magazine late in the week. So that already was, so the little child was Hoitzah. It was transported. Michutz Latchum. Not Muchach, because it was probably in New York City, in the post office that it comes to on Shabbos, was probably already within the Tchum of New York City. Right. New York City is one big Tchum within the city, within before Shabbos began. So there's not really a Tchum Shaila. And as far as Jews doing it, you don't have to be chayish and a Jew because most people who work in the postal office are not Jews. That is the reality. You go bus arrive. There's no Noilat. The magazine was printed before on Friday. So many situations you can be makel. You can be makel. And people are makel. If you want to be machmir, I don't remember the details. I have to go over this in more detail. Or bli neder. There is ground to be machmir. If you want to be machmir. But the New York Times is more of an issue, because the New York Times, they actually print on Shabbos itself. No, why do you say that? All right, whatever. All right. New York Times is in a category by itself, because it's actually printed bo bayom on Shabbos itself. The news didn't even happen yet. What's interesting, it's so noilad. It wasn't even typed. Some of the articles, not all, but some of the articles, probably the front page article, when you're getting Saturday morning, it probably wasn't even typed up until Shabbos began. the event may not even have happened.
Right.
They don't know who won the World Series yet. They don't know who won the World Series until Friday night after Chatzos. Now they know who won the World Series. So now the news has happened, and now the editors are sitting down to write up play by play what happened, all of the drama, and then the first going to send it to the printer, and then it's going to be printed, and then they're going to ship it out. There's so many new things that are happening. It's not much. No, they're not real Noilat issues. It's going to arrive to your home on Shabbos morning. That's the problem.
But you did nothing to cause it. You didn't do anything. Like,
Noilat.
So it's created. So
you're not allowed to benefit. There's a halach and shulchan aruch called Noilat. Anything which did not exist before the first came into existence on Shabbos is forbidden for benefit on Shabbos itself. It's a general halacha. It's no, even though you did nothing. If a chicken lays an egg, on Shabbos, are you allowed to benefit from the egg? No. It's halacha in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. It's called Noilat. It's called Noilat. But again, most mail that you get on Shabbos is not Noilat. And that's why most of the mail that's not the issue. The issue is an issue that may have come chutz l'tchum, and that could be a problem of mux as well.
And another country?
No, I don't think it came from another country before Shabbos. Not likely. And the other issue is if a Jew is involved, he should not be nene from chil Shabbos from a Jew. There's a famous story of Rav Palmer. Palmer's mailman was Jewish. In Kensington, he was Jewish. Rav Palmer was such an edel person that he had a relationship with his mailman. He used to greet him, say hello to him, and he was Jewish, not religious. And Rav Palmer said to him, "You know, it's Shabbos. I don't feel comfortable that you're doing for me labor, forbidden labor, what I consider to be forbidden labor on Shabbos. If you can be so kind, do me a favor, just don't bring the mail on Shabbos to me. Just go to the next, just whatever. Don't pick it up in the post office." Today, I would imagine the postman, he'll be fired if he would listen, right?
All the time.
They'll be fired.
You go on vacation, you tell your mail person, "I'm not going to be here for 2 days, can you hold on to it?"
Yeah, I'm not so sure. Today, they probably have supervisors, and they check. I can't imagine in a world today where everyone is under such scrutiny with cameras and automation and technology. So everyone today is, but in the olden days, we lived in a much simpler world, and when you tell the mailman not to deliver the mail on Shabbos, if he was a nice guy, he would say, "Okay, fine."
Your mail is packaged and sorted by your mailman. He puts it in order for the houses they're going to. He does it in the
facility. Right, okay, all right. Whatever it is. This, so I don't know, but that's the story of the problem. Next, halacha yugimel. So Blina will come down some of these shalos later on, but that's a general rule of thumb. New York Times is a problem. Other newspapers, you can be makel if you really want to be makel, and other things as well. You can pretty much be makel unless the object that you're receiving on Shabbos is muksa. You know, you see an electronical device. What to talk about? It's muksa. Don't talk about. And if they leave it outside, if it's in Rishus Sayachid, it is advisable that you should bring it inside. Don't trust anyone. Bring it inside. You kick it. Bring it inside the home. Kila achar yad. But if there is no Eruv and it's not in a place where you can bring it in, then there's nothing you can do. Then unless you can ask a goy, because you might be afraid of Hefsin Muat or Hefsin Meruba, you can ask a goy to bring it into your home on Shabbos. If they bring a package, the UPS, you can say, "Listen, I can't do anything, but if you want, you can put it down. I'm not going to stop you." They can put it down and they can sign for you. And they can sign. That's very common. Yud Gimel. Let's say the Nachri has a mashkel in your home. You said that product belongs to a non-Jew. And the guy is coming to take the mashkel. He's coming to replace it by giving you money. "I want to take back my mashkein, and I'm giving you back. Here's $100. I'm putting the $100 on the dining room table and taking my mashkein, or I'm giving you another mashkein in exchange for this." Mutar li hachazir loy. The ainze mekach memkar. It's mutter. You're allowed to give it back. This is not the violation of business. Exchanging a mashkin, letting him take a mashkin after payment is not in the category. It's forbidden on Shabbos to engage in business. Returning, taking back a mashkin after he puts, gives you money is not, he says, is not called mekel melkar. The toiv shlo yigal yisod b'mashkin, klal should not touch it. The davka kishahu malbush, the oz, now when the guy takes the mashkin, so it's better the Jew should not touch them, let the guy take it himself. But let's say the guy will put, then what kind of mashkin do we let the guy take out of your house? Clothing. The guy will put on his jacket, put on his hat, and walk out. Or there is an Erev. Then there is no malacha being done. So now we come to a whole new topic of discussion, which is discussed by Rabbunim in great length. Maris Ayin. There are many things which are mutter. There's a whole new category of mar of amiru la'akum, when a guy is doing something for you on Shabbos in a way that is 100% permitted. There is absolutely no violation of halacha whatsoever, but yet there is an issue of maris ayin. This is a category in and of itself. So then when the guy does it, the appears that the Jew is told the guy to take it outside. But let's say there is no maris, and it's a type of object which no Jew would ever own. What Jew would ever own? A smartphone. So if the guy is coming taking the smartphone, you know, it's the guy's, right? Mutter lahaniach lenachrish yotzeni, because there's no marisayin. Sharoi yomash anachri chnisa umotzir, the guy took it out, avalim anachri b'chutz. Another halacha, never put your hands outside your house, because then it's an akira letzarech hanacha. Do not hand the object to the guy. If you are standing inside and you pick it up and you give it to the guy, so you've done half of the malacha. You've done the akira, letzarech v'hanacha, the first mishnah mesechta Shabbos. Alo anachi b'chutz lo yoshit lo ha'yisrael afilu kishapesh liyadot lefnim deharoye shehanachri oimei b'chutz u'moitzi. Anyone who sees the guy is taking, is standing outside and taking it, Yoimar will assume that that there is a violation of amira la'akam. Yoimar shayisrael nasan lo. Let's just finish up a bit quickly. Mudalitin lo nachim zonis she'efshel she'lechen she'yachlein v'beis. A guy wants food, so you can give him the food because there's a possibility the guy is going to eat the food in your own home. And even though it's more likely that he'll go and he'll take it home with him. I didn't tell him to take it home with him. I'm giving him the option of eating the food here, that does not involve malacha deraisa. If he wants to go take the food home with him, so that's his choice. That's not my doing. I will harbe. But if you give the guy a lot of food which he cannot possibly eat in your home, oh, shar dvarim, also litin loy, because then it's as if you're telling the guy to do a malacha to carry on Shabbos. When the whole Indian also litin loy, you're not allowed to put the food into his hand, tell him, take it, you take it yourself. Shemkein, hare yishol, oitz akira, letzarech hoitza, you're doing the akira, you're doing half the malacha, the rest of hoitza, vizeh also. So basically, the rule of thumb is, never ever pick up something and give it to a guy. Whenever you have to give a guy something which you know he's going to carry in the street, the halacha is tell the guy himself to pick it up. The guy has to go and take something to someone else's house. A guy comes on Shabbos, I'm here to pick up the keys. I was sent by your neighbor. I was sent to pick up the keys to go to them because they need this for whatever they need for Shabbos. Good. So let him take the keys. But he himself should take the keys off the table. You should never give something to a guy where the guy is going to take out into, because then you have done the akira letzarech hanacha. The akira has begun. The malacha has begun with you. You should minimize the malacha by having him do the malacha entirely. Next, lach tezvav lo letzarech mitzvah goyim lahoytzi chametz beso ishanach yid alam oyim shindak yishalayim. Let's say this chametz in your home on Pesach, or the guy is a very difficult guy, a UPS delivery man which is giving you a really, really hard time. Or whatever, someone comes to your house, they have an attitude problem, and he doesn't want to hear about Shabbos, your Sabbath, he doesn't want to engage, he doesn't want to engage you in this conversation. Then you can put the object in front of him, you can tell the guy to go take it, gesund hate. In a situation where you have no choice, then you're allowed to give something to a guy that he should carry on Shabbos. Darkish, he's saying more exceptions to the rule. It's very chiddush. Darkish shalom, a guy that's an alam, or because a mitzvah chametz on Pesach, you're allowed to tell the guy here. here it is, take it. Go, take it home with you. Go, be Mechal Shabbos, carry, in, go from the Rosh HaSayachid to the Rosh HaSarabim, and from the Rosh HaSarabim to the Rosh HaSayachid, only because of me. And I'm not, this is not for a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. One thing is a mitzvah. The mitzvah here says it's a chametz tashbisu, to get rid of chametz out of your home. But even if it's not for chametz, because Darkei Shalom, or because he's a very difficult person, he cannot wait until Mitzvah Shabbos, you're allowed to tell the Amiru La'akum for Haitzah, but again, always try not to actually pick it up and give it over to him, but let him pick it up himself so he should do the entire malacha. Last two halachas, Nachmi Shekhanes Chayim Yisrael Be'erev Shabbos, Obola L'lokha B'Shabbos, he purchased it Erev Shabbos, and he wants to take delivery, he wants to now take it from your home on Shabbos, and in Einel Tzach Gadol, Yesh L'asol L'itim L'lo Hoitzi Afil Makim Sheish Erev, don't, it is getting Maris Ayin, Sheyach Shadu, Shemach Uloi B'Shabbos, people are going to suspect Maris Ayin of Nekach U'Memkar B'Shabbos. People are going to suspect that you sold him this object on Shabbos itself. Also, very interesting halacha. And this mamash nageh for chapels, nageh for hatzalah. It's a very complicated halacha, so I don't know all the details. And every situation depends. Let's say the person has died. The person already has died. And now the question is informing the relatives. Are you allowed to send goyim? To send goyim to the relatives to inform them what has happened. So you're going to tell a goy to drive to a location to inform them what has happened, or to call them on the telephone and leave a message. Most people know the answering machine, you can hear the message. You don't answer the phone, you can hear the message. So calling on the telephone is the Rabbanon. It's not Nisa Deraisa. Traveling on Shabbos in the car is probably Nisa Deraisa. Turning on the engine is Nisa Deraisa. Turning on an engine is it's Deraisa. So the question over here is, are you allowed to tell a goy to do these things? So generally the answer is no. Because what's there to do? The person died. The person died, there's nothing to do. What are you going to do on Shabbos? What are you going to accomplish? You're going to accelerate, you're going to speed up the process? It's not necessary, so the process will take longer. It's Chil Shabbos. Amiru La'akum is Osir. So there's no heter to be Mechal Shabbos in any way whatsoever in order to inform people about something important, because what are you going to gain from it? What are you going to accomplish? That is what it says. And this halacha is a very complicated halacha, and obviously you cannot generalize. Every situation is different. Sometimes people have to know for all different various reasons. They have to know. They have to be prepared.
Okay. Like to prevent an autopsy.
Whatever. Okay. That. Well, let's say they have to know how there are certain people that are children that are very sensitive. So adults have to be aware in advance in order how to handle the situation, because it can cause some very great grief, trauma. Every situation is different. Okay, this is a very complicated halacha. Rabbanim always they struggle with this very, very much. When the person already has died on Shabbos, even let's say Rachman Lisson, Hatzolah is a very big problem. Let's say Hatzolah comes to a home and the person is not living anymore. So what do they do? So do they remove the niftar from the home on Shabbos? What are you gaining? What are you gaining by taking the niftar out of the home on Shabbos? It's Chil Shabbos. For them, it's only Chil Shabbos. For the Hatzolah members, they get a call and they come to the person's home, and it's too late. The person is no longer alive. So what are you going to take him to the hospital? It's too late. So you're going to take him to the chapel for what? The person is not alive. So you're going to leave him in the person's home until Shabbos is over. So usually, if that's a possibility, that would be the ideal thing to do. Why then? Sometimes they don't do that. I don't know. Maybe because it's too traumatic for some people to be in the home with the nifter, so they have a guy come take it away. There are children in the house. I don't know. I really don't know the answer. Every situation is a very complicated. My father had such shilas like this. I think in this case, my father, he said, just don't do anything. Just you have to wait until Shabbos is over. And that's what they did. They didn't do anything. They closed the door. What?
Put him on the floor.
Okay, that's a Kabbalistic thing. They put him on the floor. Yeah, but I'm talking about Chil Shabbos, to tell the guy to bring the mace from the home right away to the chapel on Shabbos. Generally, it is also. However, you should be aware. I know this. I've heard this firsthand, and it was nageh even me, myself, and my family. And that is, if a person dies in the hospital on Shabbos, and certainly on Yom Tov, then the halacha, the imam should pass in this halacha, is to have a guy, if the person has died, and the hasler already has signed the death certificate, you're allowed, everybody sign, allowed, I heard this, to have a guy immediately remove the body from the hospital ASAP to a chapel through a guy. Why? Because every moment the body remains in any hospital in the United States, in New York City for sure, there is a danger that they will do an autopsy. And even though they're telling you, don't worry, we're not going to do an autopsy, it has been proven that
they lie.
They exactly. So if Rachmana Litzlan, a person dies on Shabbos and hospital has already signed, some of them do it very quickly, it's a matter of minutes, they already signed the death certificate, so then you are allowed to instruct them to call up the chapel, the Jewish chapel. Every Jewish chapel has a guy on call 24/7, and the guy should, and the Jewish chapel will hear that the person has died, and they will send a team, one or two people, to the hospital on Shabbos, mamish bo bayom, immediately, and take possession
within
of the body. What?
They were within the hour.
And they will take possession of the body and be mechal Shabbos to take the body to the chapel for shmirah. Oh, but it says here, well, what's the purpose? What's the wait until Shabbos is over? No, it's not a place for a dead body. A hospital is not a place for a sick person, and it's certainly not a place for a dead person. And therefore, they have to take the body right away because of the chashad that it will lead to an autopsy of nivul hames. That is the halacha today, as far as I know. I've heard this firsthand from very reliable sources. On the other hand, if the person is nifter, rachmana lisan, in the house, there's no pressing need. It should not be done. It is forbidden because you're accomplishing absolutely nothing by removing the body from the house, unless there is some very great need. What can that be? Very great need? Very possible if there are young children and they're traumatized that the body is in the house. So that is what?
Summertime, there's no air conditioning.
Summertime, very good, there's no air conditioning. Okay, no air conditioning, and it's a long day. So in every situation, there are exceptions when Rabbanim will permit a non-Jew to do the Mechal Shabbos, to transport the body to the chapel, even on Shabbos. But generally, the starting point is that it's Osir. It's Osir. And then the last thing is, but of course, the person is sick. I mean, it's from Shulim Admod, a person is sick. Avul Choylev, the Takif Le'om, a person is sick. And the Omar Sheyishluchu, what? The world is heavy upon him. He sees that he has a very short time left to live. And he's distraught. And he wants to be with his relatives. He wants someone, a relative, to come. The only way they can bring a relative is through Chilul Shabbos. Then you're allowed, V'amah sheyishluchu be'ad k'rayvav, mutar liskar nachu l'shalcha, you're allowed to hire a non-Jew to bring a relative to the sick person on Shabbos, which is very common. Let's say people who, this is also very complicated, this halacha, let's say a person is, you get word that someone in the hospital is not well, you get word, the hospital calls. Things are not good, and you're at home, you didn't expect this, so are you allowed to go and have a hire a taxi, get a taxi, either yourself or have a non-Jew, to go take you to the hospital, let's even you yourself go drive to the hospital? The answer generally is yes. Yes, because the problem, someone who's a goyses, he calls for you, his frame of mind, it can make the difference of life and death. He needs you to be this, mamash pikuach nefesh, that you be there on his behalf. And if they say today, it's even more important because you need an advocate. If a person is in the hospital and there's no one there who's an advocate, they'll let him go in 2 minutes. They'll just let him die. If you make a lot of noise, then they'll hustle. They'll do things to prolong the person's life, to save the person's life. So it's extremely critical. Don't make no assumptions. Just because a person is in the hospital and you think they're getting the best care, it's not true. I know firsthand, especially over the weekends, Shabbos in hospitals, they shut down the hospitals. Thursday, every doctor on the Thursday in any hospital is in shutdown mode, stabilization mode. Monday morning they come up, they come all the doctors, they make their rounds, and they make trouble. They come and they do experiments, they do things to get together. And then when it comes Thursday, the goal is stabilize the patient. No, no, no experimentation. No, no, no heroics. Because We're going home. We're going away for the weekend. We're not going to be here. We don't want to deal with emergencies. We deal with trouble. So Thursday, it's stabilization time. And what happens? You have a very shvacha staff on call on Shabbos, and no one's really looking out for the people. So therefore, it's a big sakana. It's a very big, very important thing for the person to have an advocate on their behalf present in the hospital on Shabbos to take care of that person, because the hospital's not really interested. That's the mitzvah today. That's the way it is today. Therefore, a person knows that something is wrong, he's allowed to go certainly by a goy, and it's a chiddush that in certain circumstances he can go himself. If the goy is not going to come fast enough, he himself can go call the Uber himself, get on the phone, call Uber, or press a few buttons on his cell phone. That's really, Uber really solved a lot of problems for these issues, because using Uber is so much easier than calling the car service. Call a car service, there's a lot more that has to go on. You have to give money, this, that. Uber, so it's just a few buttons. You can press the buttons kalach hayat, or you can have a little child press the buttons for you. There aren't that many buttons to press to get the Uber to come for you. Very few buttons to press. Everything is pretty much saved. And you don't have to pay any money. Everything is already pre-done. And it makes things, and Uber really, really has solved a lot of halachic shilas for people who are giving birth. People who are giving birth, women who are giving birth on Shabbos, it made things a lot easier. Okay, we'll stop over here, give a very short break, and then we'll discuss something else.